Today on Real Radio.
And if you believe this message, it'll change your life forever. Christian, believe this and give the news. Preach it among the nations, among the Gentiles, that they might believe, those that dwell in the world, because he was resurrected and he was received up into glory. These things are true. If I'm wrong, then I'm just a very content, happy, stupid, ignorant, blessed man. If I'm right, then you, if you don't agree with the Bible, have aligned yourself on the wrong side of the fence.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word.
On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. As we read the writing of young Timothy's mentor here, we quickly learn the importance of maintaining truth as found in Scripture, including that of the divinity of God the Son. Well, did you know that toward the end of chapter 3, we find the words of a hymn sung in the first century that affirms what's called the mystery of God being made flesh to live with us here on planet Earth? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in this look at 1 Timothy 3 in verses 14 through 16. It's called The Mystery of Godliness.
The church is built upon Christ, and from that comes the pillar, and from the top of the pillar, the riser, comes the light of the gospel. And that's to be our function. That's our mission. One writer put it this way: as long as the light is going forth, the structure has meaning. What good is a lighthouse on the shore if the light goes out? It's not only no good, but people will be coming by looking for it and not seeing it. And they will sail into disaster. Why? Because she isn't putting out her light. We've got to hold forth the word. We've got to be true to the word in these last days. We've got to see who we really are. I know we've had bad days. I know we have bad years. I know we've had bad lives. But the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are a child of the living God, and you are the light of the world. You are the one parked upon the rock that holds forth the light out into a world that is marinating along to a Christless eternity, and you're the one, and I'm the one with the message. That's heavy stuff. I love it. Verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Hey, it simply means this, first of all. Without controversy, it means this: there is no dispute. There's a little bit of sarcasm in this, people. When Paul writes this, he says, hey, without controversy, no dispute, pal. There's nothing you can bring against this truth. Try as you may, there's nothing that you can concoct on earth or in hell that can come against this truth. I want to back up for a second and hopefully bring this to light. I mentioned earlier that Paul was talking about technical things, and it's almost as though in the emotion, Paul's going, you got to be the husband of one wife. You've got to be hospitable, and he's going line by line by line. He goes to verse 13. He makes his statement in verse 13. He writes verse 14. These things I write, very technical, almost kind of dry in a way. Hey, Timothy, I'm coming. Hang on. But if I'm delayed, now look what happens. He's saying, I'm writing this so you know how to conduct yourself in the church. And all of a sudden, Paul's heart starts to take off. I hope you can sense this. He starts to write the church. Hey, wait a minute. He starts kind of getting with it. The church of the living God, the pillar, the foundation of the truth. And Paul is beginning to get extremely excited with this. He comes to verse 16 and he about goes nuts. He's about blessed. I'm telling you, he's crescendoing, and it's precious because he's kind of like not into it. And as he's writing, he mentions the church, and oh boy, I feel a worship coming on. Oh man, and he gets to verse 16. And by the way, you know, I can prove what I just said to you. Church history reveals to us that this verse 16 was one of the first Christian hymns that the church began to sing in fellowships. Isn't that neat? It's an act of worship. And here we go. I've been waiting to get to this verse. Without dispute, great is the mystery of godliness. What is it? The word mystery means a hidden truth. A hidden truth. Hidden from the prophets of old. Hidden from the world who will not turn to God. What is the hidden mystery? Is that God would come in the flesh to mankind. People, listen. You and I sit on this side of the cross, and it's no big deal so often to us. The mystery of godliness is that Jesus Christ would come in the flesh to the earth. God, who prior to this, read your Bibles, don't believe a word I'm about to say, was invisible. The Bible says that God was invisible before Christ came. That you could see his glory, his radiance, the form of his person, but you couldn't see him, the invisible God. Think on this. We have no problem understanding that the Holy Spirit's invisible. We can kind of handle that God the Father is not visible. But prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus was invisible. You could see his radiance. You could see his awesomeness. You could not see him face to face. Unless there was a theophanies performed in the Old Testament. Study this. God, the Bible says, was invisible. You could see his manifestation, but you could not behold him. Now listen, store that thought. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. People, he's speaking about Jesus. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. By the way, this verse right here undeniably makes the statement that Jesus pre-existed, that he was eternal. Mark it. In John 17:5, it says, and now Jesus says, O Father, glorify me. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before you, or with you before the world was. Jesus is eternal. Pre-existence, the eternal Son. Isaiah, listen, you got your pen ready? Next to this verse 16, you ought to write these things. By the way, I think you ought to write all over your Bible. I really do. I think you ought to have little things. When God speaks to your heart, you ought to write in the footnotes. You hear a verse that blesses your heart, you need to put it next to that verse. You need to make your Bible personal. Mine's almost like a diary. I got all kinds of things in there, and it blesses me. You need to, what I call, rig your Bible. Get it rigged. So if you're taking notes, have a pen ready. And write this down, next to verse 16. Isaiah 9:6, speaking about the eternal Son. For unto us a child is born. Okay, Joseph and Mary had a baby boy. Big deal. It is a big deal. Unto us a child is born, yes. And it goes on to say, and a son is given. Look, when my little girls were born, I didn't say, oh, I've given a son, or I've given a daughter. God was manifest in the flesh. That means Jesus came. A son was given by God the Father. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God is among you. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. That word translated in the Hebrew is eternally, the eternal Son, never having a beginning, never having an ending. And then Hebrews 1:1, God, who at various times in diverse manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is the creator. Verse 3, Hebrews 1, who being in the brightness of the Father's glory, the expressed image of his person. Jesus represented and showed forth the exact representation of God. Listen, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ. It says they're justified in the Spirit. What does that mean? It simply means this: vindicated or proven to be true. Who qualified Jesus' statements? The Holy Spirit. Who qualified his life? The Holy Spirit. His death? The Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that it was the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit. Justified, vindicated by the Spirit. And then, people, to me, which is the highlight of this whole thing, seen by angels. That word seen in the Greek means to gaze upon, to study, to inspect, and I like this, to gawk. It also means to become wide-eyed, wide-eyed. The word seen is optonomy. It's where we get our word optometry. Wide-eyed. Listen to this. Wide-eyed by angels. The angels were wide-eyed. They gawked at him. I want to ask you this. When did they gawk at him? The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6 that the angels are before God and they take their wings and they cover their face before God. Store that thought. Because people, do you know what's awesome? Do you know why Paul freaked out and began to bless the Lord? There is a manifestation, a revelation of God himself for the first time in eternity, taking the form of a human being. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. The angel said, the shadow of the Most High will ensconce you, and you will bear forth the Son. And I bet that angel went, you'll bear forth the Son. This is heavy stuff. He didn't say that to Mary, but he might have been thinking that. This is a big deal. And listen, I believe this. They gawked at him, gawked at by angels. When Mary was on that donkey and she went into that inn and she began to have pains, the host of heaven was summoned to that woman's labor. The eternal realm began to move. She's going into labor. 911, get every angel down here. This is going to be awesome. We're going to gawk at him. And she, either being a good Jewish gal, she probably squatted on stools like Moses' mom did. They didn't lay down. She probably got down there, and I think those angels got down like this, man. I think they got all around, and they're going, he's coming. He's coming. Our eternal creator in flesh is going to be coming out of a woman made of the earth. They're going to gawk. We so glibly think of Jesus and his awesome holiness. Listen, the fact of the matter is, people, that angels gawked at him. When? When he came. When God was manifest in the flesh. Those angels huddled around that delivery room, which was a shack at best, a cave, a barn. And they said, here he comes. I can see his head. I can see his hair. And out comes this baby boy. And the host of heaven stands there and says, that's him. That's him. The first time we've seen him face to face. Look at his hands. Look at his feet. You see, I believe this because I don't think you can see God face to face and live until Jesus. Listen, if the host of heaven would surround that young girl, probably 16, 17 years old, giving birth, then I'm excited. And I don't care what any liberal theologian, unconverted professor says. angels gawked at him. And God help me if I don't gawk at him. If I'm not wide-eyed at the incredible miracle that God was manifest in the flesh, that he was born as a child. I can prove this. In Luke chapter 2, I'll read it to you, starting at verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" You think that angel went, "I bring you good tidings of great joy"? I think that angel was standing there, and remember, those guys were afraid for a reason. He goes, "Hey, man, don't be afraid. I bring you the greatest news. For behold, today in the city of David, a Savior's been born, Christ the King, the Savior. And there is born unto you in the city of David the Savior, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly," hey, verse 13 of Luke 2, I love it. "And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying," oh boy, it's been a big day. Are you kidding? "They said, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven." You know why they went to heaven? They praised God. They saw God in the form of the Son birth. I think they went up to heaven to just say, "Did you guys get a glimpse of what just happened down there? We were there. We saw it, man. Absolutely incredible." And we even sang songs. There were a million of us over those shepherds and over that lamb. We freaked out. "It's heavy. You guys got to go down there and check it out." And look at what these guys did, these poor shepherds. "They saw them going to heaven, and the shepherds said to one another," you bet they did, "'Let us now go, behold, and gawk.'" "Let us go and gawk this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." That's why kings travel some 2 years, 3 years, to bring him gifts. That's why the world's never been the same. That's why your calendar's different. God was manifest in the flesh. And I believe those angels stood around that birthing spot to see their eternal creator, because the Bible says that God created the angels and the earth. The Bible says that that God was Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, Genesis 1, on and on. Jesus is the creator. We'll end soon, people. Listen, "that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, gawked with our own eyes, which we have gawked upon," John 1:1 says, "and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." The life was manifest, and we've seen him, we've gawked at him, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, that which was with the Father, was manifest to us. Isn't that heavy? John chapter 1, verse 3, "that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that we know Jesus Christ and the Father." This is the greatest news in all of the world. That's why Paul goes into a little ditty right here. He starts singing a song. He probably got up being about 65 years old that he was, started doing a little dance. You know, a little Hebrew thing, man. I bet he's lost it. And he thought about those angels. God manifest in the flesh. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made." See? In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word," if you have any doubts, God bless you if you're a skeptic. I love you. I understand that. But, you know, right now, this ought to put it to rest. John chapter 1, verse 14, if you have any doubts about the Word, who was God, who created everything. Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. and we gawked at his glory. Oh, come on, man. If you're not saved, you're just being crazy. If you're not saved, you need to accept Christ today. We're not asking you to join this church. I don't care if you ever come back here. As long as you go to some place that teaches the Bible, you just need to get saved. This is great. I don't want to offend your intellect at all. But angels, according to the Bible, are a lot smarter than you are. And when this little girl was having a baby, they summoned the host of heaven. They got on their car phones, man, and every kind of thing they could have. Their little things, and beep, beep, beep. Hey, we got an alert, dude. We got baby being born. Get down here now. Our God is about to come forth. For behold, unto us a child is born, a son is given. Jesus is God in the flesh. And that's why it says we're to preach him among the Gentiles, all the nations of the world. We're to believe on him, believed on in the world. Are you a believer this morning? Man, if you're a believer, you should go nuts over this. If you're not a believer, but you've just become a believer by hearing the word of God, you need to rejoice. And if you believe this message, it'll change your life forever. Christian, believe this. And give the news. Preach it among the nations, among the Gentiles, that they might believe, those that dwell in the world, because the proof in the pudding is he was resurrected and he was received up into glory. These things are true. If I'm wrong, then I'm just a very content, happy, stupid, ignorant, blessed man. If I'm right, then you, if you don't agree with the Bible, have aligned yourself on the wrong side of the fence. And God will hold you accountable. We'll end with this. G. Campbell Morgan said, there is a person the world needs to see, behold, to gawk at. Am I helping to show him to this world? There are dark and troubled storm-tossed seas which mariners traverse and are presently being wrecked. And there is a light for them. Am I helping to flash that light across these troubled waters? There is a famine for the word of God everywhere, and men are wandering away and dying alone. And there is the word of God that meets their need of such hunger. Am I doing anything and everything to make him known, that they may see?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at 1 Timothy 3 in verses 14 through 16. It's a presentation called The Mystery of Godliness, speaking of the mind-boggling teaching of Messiah's divinity, and that he actually lived and walked in the Middle East some 2 millennia ago. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if Real Radio is making a difference in your life, we'd love to hear from you. Drop a line to Pastor Jack by either calling, clicking, or writing. You can visit us at realradioactive.org and just click where it says Send Us a Message. That's realradioactive.org. You can also call us if you'd like. Here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.